I would say in overtime, I had an AN1 that was pretty fun. I think that might have been the one that broke the record. I felt the ground hard as hell. That hurt. Still got a bruise for that. And then one of them, another one, I hit a Hezzy three. I think that might have been for the 3-point record too. That one felt pretty good. But yeah, it was a great feeling, you know, just feeling, you know, one of those games where all the work you put in is kind of showing off in front of everyone.
Welcome back to another episode, Not Even D2. I'm your host, KJ Allison, as always here with my co-host, Neruda Perdomo. Today, or this week, is a special week. You know, it's Alfred versus Utica week this weekend. Super excited to play against my boy, but just give me a rundown on this past week and then, you know, this weekend, what your mindset is going into conference play.
Yeah, man. First of all, really excited to play against you on Saturday, bro. It's going to be a great moment that, you know, you and I are not going to forget. You know what I mean? Probably doesn't happen in the podcasting world too much, so
OD.
It's kind of dope, bro. It's kind of dope for sure. But yeah, past week, man, we dropped one. We dropped two in the last, you know, three games. We beat Fisher, lost to Naz and Geneseo. And, you know, obviously, you know, it's frustrating to lose, but you got to take losses and kind of learn from them. As Coach Juckum says, you know, you never want to take real losses. You just kind of want to just – they're lessons.
Facts.
So just, you know, get in the film room, figure out what we need to do, you know, get in the gym, get shots up. But not worried about my guys. Still got a lot of confidence in us at the end of the day. But, yeah, and then first week of class started, you know, on Monday, which is exciting. Last semester of my senior year, which is really dope. But how about you? Tell me about your last couple of days.
So last week, 3-0 week for the guys. We definitely needed that. Like, we didn't start the season off how we wanted to. We had some crucial injuries to some of our better players, but it felt good to get three conference wins at the crib too. And we haven't let up more than 50 points in this week. Every team only the max Fisher scored 50. So we're doing what we got to do on the defensive end. This week in practice, we're just trying to clean up a few things up. I'm not going to give you the drop on what we're trying to clean up, but definitely some positive vibes in the gym, in the locker room right now. But we know, like, this weekend is really big. If it's not the best, it's one of the best in the conference. Like, Poly Utica that weekend is super tough. You guys are a great team, and Poly's a great addition. They're having a good year in the E8 so far. So it's going to be two battles, and we just, you know, trying to get better day by day. About to watch film on Poly today, so we just locked in. But yeah, like you said, I'm mad excited to play against you. And this is for Kemfi or Coffee. We both get, if you guys are listening, we both get a pass. Like, if one of us is guarding the other person, we get a pass to kind of do whatever we want. So just let us rock out. And
100%, my boy, 100%, man.
But it's going to be cool. I think our fam's going to be in the crowd, some of our friends. So it's just going to be high energy. Hopefully we can make it a good game as well. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this week we got a great episode. Justin Allen having a really good year. Second most points in Division III, leading Carnegie Mellon to a pretty good year. They're getting into UAA play right now, which is a loaded conference. We always talk about that. But, I mean, he's a really, really good hooper, but also a really, really, like, good person. We had a good conversation, quick conversation, and I just want to hear your thoughts about Justin Allen and, you know, maybe UAA, Carnegie Mellon basketball, anything you want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, shout out Justin for getting on the pod, man. It was a solid episode, bro. We talked for under 30 minutes, but I feel like we really got to know him, and he's a solid dude. You know what I mean? Solid. And he's killing this year, bro. I mean, he's averaging 26.8 points per game, 50% from the field, 40% from three. Like, those are really elite numbers. And obviously he had that 50 burger, which is very tough. So he's going to lead Carnegie Mellon to – I think they're going to finish out the season great just because, you know what I'm saying, he's playing at a really high level right now. You know what I mean? Obviously they have a really good team, but, like, you could tell, like Justin was saying, like, in the game he scored 50, like, they're playing Dickinson. And, like, he said they started to come back. And he was like, nah, hold on. I got to, like, help my team win. You know what I mean? So I think he's going to have that mindset all year. And he's going to help them win. And I thought it was also cool that we got to talk about the little bit of the UAA versus NESCAC rivalry. Nice. I'm definitely going to make a reel out of that. I thought that was a funny moment just talking about all that. But obviously a great episode, bro, and I'm excited for the viewers to get to know Justin.
Nah, facts. I mean, Justin's a hooper, bro. Like, he can do a lot of things. And when you talk about, like, why Division III has continued to grow in talent and parity, it's players like Justin. Like, he had the opportunity after sophomore year to go to the next level. And if you watch his film, you're clearly going to be able to tell, like, that's a Division I talent. Like, he could play low to maybe mid-major basketball, but he chose to stay loyal to Carnegie Mellon. And it makes sense. Like, you know it, I know it. When you're in the locker room with those guys, it's hard to, even if you have an opportunity to play at the next level, sometimes it's hard to leave those guys that you build in those bonds for one, two, three, however many years. Like, it's real love at this level. Like, we understand the grind you got to put in. We understand what you're going through on the day-to-day. It's tough. And I respect Justin for, you know, staying down to Carnegie Mellon, and it's paying off for him because he's averaging over 27 points per game, having a 50 piece, and that's like national recognition day in and day out. So it's like, it makes sense why a player like that would stay with his guys. And Carnegie Mellon's also tough. Like, he talked about it, him, RJ Buckley, and the rest of their guys, like, they're hungry. UAA play is also like super, super lit right now. Is one of those conferences where it's kind of hard to predict what's happening, because Walsh U, like, they were ranked top five in the country, and their first game they lose to UChicago. Carnegie Mellon, they played Case Western, who was last in the conference at the time, and they lost to them too. So it's kind of hard to predict what's going on in UAA right now. But like he said in the episode, you got to be ready to go. It doesn't matter if you're playing Case Western, who's in the standings last, you got to be ready to go. Or you're playing Emory, who's first or second in the country right now. You, like, both teams are really good, and you got to be ready to go, or else you're going to be upset when it comes to February and you're not playing when you want to be playing.
100%, man. And, you know, college basketball is crazy that way. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like this year all around, like, so many teams are just getting these crazy wins, or just, you know, it's so competitive and between conferences and whatnot. So it's obviously really great to see. And you're 100% right about Justin and his talent level. I mean, he hits tough shots. He's 6'4", if I'm not mistaken, right? He's hitting snatchback threes and, like, tough midi pull-ups, you know what I mean? So he's obviously a high-level talent. And, you know, he's showcasing off in D3, you know what I mean? And the more people that see it and, you know, realize that, yeah, we really got some hoopers at this level, man. But definitely agree with everything you just said, KJ.
Nah, 100%. And before we go, quick shout-out. Like, I know we talked about in the episode, but if you don't realize how special a 50-piece was, like, shout-out to you, Justin. That's crazy, 50 points in a game. In a close game at that, like, it wasn't just running up and down. Like, it's real basketball. Go watch the highlights and the episode. But we talked about a lot, including the 50 ball, his recruitment to Carnegie Mellon, UAA basketball, and then what the future looks like for Justin. So really good episode. If you like this episode, subscribe, like, or follow us at Not Even D2. We appreciate all the support, and let's hear from Justin. All right, we are here with Justin Allen. How you doing today, bro?
I'm doing good, bro. How are you?
Chilling.
Appreciate you getting on, my guy.
Appreciate you guys having me on here also.
Of course, bro. Of course. Tell me a little bit about what you've been doing today, bro. You guys had some games this weekend. Talk to me.
Yeah, so we played yesterday, had a tough loss to Case Western. So off day today, trying to just, you know, rest the body, get ready for the next week, next few games ahead.
Yeah. Are you big into like any specific lifting or recovery with your trainer? What's your process on like off days?
Yeah. So I love contrast baths. So we got hot tubs, cold tubs. So I'll get in there for a little bit. And then we got Normatec boots too. So I like getting in those every once in a while, you know?
Yeah. That must be nice. The hot tubs and cold baths. You don't got that at AU. That must be a UAA or something like that.
Not so. We used to not have it. We just got a brand new athletic facility this year, so now we have everything. But before, we didn't have none of that.
I was gonna say, do you like going to school in Pittsburgh and stuff like that? Like, how is that?
I like it a lot. That was kind of one of the reasons I chose to come here. You know, a lot of the other schools I was looking at were like in the middle of nowhere, not much to do around there. Kind of like Alfred. I was pleasantly surprised. There's a lot to do in the city, a lot of cool people. There's a lot of schools around here too, so it's definitely a fun city.
Wait, so were you recruited by Alfred, or you just know?
I think I was a little bit, yeah.
All right, so that's putting pieces together. I'm kind of upset you didn't choose here, but it's why you're doing big things now. And I want to talk about the 50 ball you had recently. You had 50 points, which was a Carnegie Mellon school record. It hasn't been broken since the 1950s, which is crazy. And you also hit 9 threes in the game, 9 for 13 from 3. Just a special game. But I want to hear from you, because that was an overtime game. It was an important game. So what was your mindset heading into the day? When you realize, like, oh, I'm about to go crazy, and any like specific bucket, anything like that you remember, like, this caps off what that night was like.
Yeah, so honestly, it was a crazy night. First of all, you know, going into the game, the coach was preaching we had to go 9-2 going into conference play. That was our first time doing that since I think 10 years ago. You know, really just want to come out, get a big win here, get some good momentum going into conference play. And then, first of all, the record before me, RJ Holmes, my teammate, he had it tied at 43 points. So he's been telling me for a while he wants me to break it. And I didn't really realize it was going to be that special of a night. I missed my first few shots. Didn't really feel like anything crazy. And then the threes just started falling. Honestly, I think it was mostly catch-and-shoot threes. I'm not really like a catch-and-shoot type of guy, honestly. So, you know, my teammates were finding me. I was getting good looks. And then they just kept falling. So, you know, I think by the time we got to the second half, I realized it was special. I probably had like 5 or 6 threes around then. But I wasn't really thinking about the record or anything like that. Just wanted to come away with the win. And then, you know, favorite bucket, definitely a few. I would say in overtime, I had an and-one that was pretty fun. I think that might have been the one that broke the record. I felt the ground hard as hell. That hurt. Still got a bruise for that. And then another one, I hit a Hezzy three. I think that might have been for the 3-point record too. That one felt pretty good. But it was a great feeling, you know, just feeling, you know, one of those games where all the work you put in is kind of showing off in front of everyone, and, you know, everything was just hitting. So it was a great feeling. I'm glad we were able to come out with the W there.
It's kind of fire that your teammate, like, had confidence that you would break that. RJ, I fuck with that heavy.
Yeah, he's been telling me to go break it. So, I mean, that's my guy. I love him like a brother. So props to him.
One thing I was wondering, so I saw you was on the Q-cast, and not that we wanted you because the 50 ball, but just because, like, you were killing them, we wanted you on. But did you notice, like, your phone start going crazy or everyone posting about you after it?
Yeah, a little bit, definitely. I mean, you guys hit me up before the 50 ball, too, so I know you guys are real for that. But, definitely. I mean, it's cool, though. I mean, it's definitely great, grateful for all that. So,
in the middle of the game, are you, like, I don't want to say, like, counting your numbers, but are you, like, damn, I'm, like, I have, like, at least 25 right now. I got to keep going. Like, are you thinking that or not? You're just so locked in.
Honestly, not. I was in the flow state. I was not thinking about anything. You know, I was just locked in, just trying to get the win. We were up by, like, a good amount, I feel like, towards the second half, and they started to come back. So, at that point, I was just doing whatever I can to, you know, help our team win, put the ball in the basket. I think once I got to, like, 45 or 48, and we were up by a lot. Not by a lot, but, like, the game was kind of in our hands at the end. My teammates were trying to kind of just get me the ball. They were fouling or get me a layup so I could hit 50. But, I mean, it was definitely pretty crazy because, you know, a lot of times we're not going to have an opportunity to get to that point. So, it was nice to finish off like that.
100%. You got to keep up the scoring pace too. So, that definitely helped a little boost it. but I want to kind of bring it back. So, we got patched in from one of my teammates right now, Chris Redhead. And you guys played high school together and AAU also together. And he always tells me, like, stories playing under Chris Ward. Like, and we don't got to say it on air, some of the crazy stuff I've heard. But, Chris, I just want you to talk about, like, the impact that playing under the Ward AAU organization had on you.
Yeah, so honestly, it's an amazing program. You know, when I came in, my high school coach, Coach Tomasi, shout out to him also, he kind of put me in touch with him and said it's not really like a typical AU program where you're kind of just like playing pickup, running up and down, shooting bad shots, kind of like sets you up. It's like a European style offense, coaches you hard, you know, so He's definitely not your typical AU program, but he's a super knowledgeable coach. Learned a ton from him. Treated us like family. His son's like family to me, like my brother. So it's definitely a great experience. Learned a ton, and I'm very grateful for my time there.
I got a couple teammates. My boy Jalen Reggie played for Chris Ward basketball, and Chris Ward came to Utica for a year too.
Really?
Yeah,
he was. Oh, Ward. Yeah. I knew that. Yeah.
So you're from like the White Plains area. Like you grew up in that area.
Yeah, around there, Westchester, New York. So yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about like the basketball scene in that area, because I feel like it's kind of underrated. Like there's a lot of good hoopers from that area. Like I know Donovan Mitchell was born there, right?
Yeah. So it's definitely slept on. A lot of good hoopers around here. Obviously, it's not like New York City. But I mean, I feel like we could compete with, you know, any area in the state, and definitely some good hoopers in Westchester.
That's tough. Yeah, it's definitely a lot of good high schools and stuff like that in the area. And it makes me like wonder, we already talked about like why you kind of committed to the Carnegie Mellon, because you wanted to be in a city in terms of Pittsburgh, being in Pittsburgh, but it's also a great school. So just tell me a little bit more about your experience, like getting recruited by Carnegie Mellon, but also like what recruitment looked like for you coming out of high school.
Yeah. So coming out of high school, all my recruitment was Division III level. You know, I feel like when you're younger, everyone kind of thinks it's like D1 or bust, but as you get older, you come to realize that's not really the case. You know, I knew I was going D3. Most of the schools I talked to were Northeast schools, so a lot of NESCAC schools. Carnegie Mellon was the only school in my league that I spoke to. And honestly, when Carnegie Mellon first reached out, I'd never heard of it before. My mom was like, "Nah, trust me, like this is a good school, like talk to them." So I talked to them, and then, you know, obviously academics was a huge deal. But, you know, I feel like they wanted me more than any other school, and going somewhere where I was wanted was big for me, knowing I'd have opportunity. And also the guys here, like family, when I went on my visit, I saw that. And that was also important to me, going somewhere where the team is not just a basketball team, but it's off the court too. It's like a brotherhood. So I'm glad I made the decision to come here. I've been loving it. So
that definitely speaks to a lot of like Division III colleges. Just like a lot of people, including myself, like have an opportunity maybe to, you know, walk on somewhere or, you know, play a little bit at a higher level. But you got to go somewhere where you're valued and where your potential can be reached. And, you know, you're right on pace with that. But that kind of leads me into my next question, because I saw that on your Twitter, you posted something that you were in the portal this past offseason. Mm-hmm. And like you were hearing from Division I schools, I think like 10 plus offers. So I just want you to talk about one, like that being in the portal, what schools were reaching out to you, but also why you came back to Carnegie Mellon and what your goals were now that you're like, okay, I'm coming back to Division III. It's my turn to kill. Like, just talk to me about that process.
Yeah, so honestly, it was a crazy experience. You know, when I entered the portal, I wasn't just trying to, you know, go anywhere I could. I really love it here, and it would have taken a perfect opportunity for me to leave. You know, like I said, opportunity was a big thing for me, and then academics as well. So, you know, I heard from a lot of high academic schools, but at the end of the day, you know, it's like home for me, my family, and my brother. So kind of wanted to finish what I started last year and, you know, keep going and get some more wins, get some more accomplishments, NCAA tournament, things like that. So a lot more to be done here.
So I know that Carnegie Mellon is like a research university, right, if I'm not mistaken. So what's your major, and what's been like your adjustment to like the high academic school that is Carnegie Mellon?
Yeah, so my major is behavioral economics and decision science, doing a double major, definitely not doing any of that research. It's a heavy like computer science school as well, but that's not me either. But it's definitely taking some time to adjust, and especially with our travel schedule, once we get into league play, you know, we're flying across the country to Atlanta, New York, Boston, St. Louis, all from Pittsburgh. So definitely tough, and it's taking some time to adjust. But, you know, being able to lean on my teammates has been helpful. You know, everyone here is super smart, so having them to help me, and then, you know, just working on my time management, it's definitely good though.
That's dope, bro. That's dope. And I'm just curious too, like looking at your stats, you increase your scoring stats like basically every year, right? So you went from 11 to I think like 18, if I'm not mistaken, your sophomore year, or
it was like 20, 21, but yeah, around there.
So around that, and now you're averaging at least like 28, right? You're averaging like 28.
Yep.
So just talk about like how you approach your off seasons and like what you're working on the off seasons. Like how did you get that gradual scoring increase every single year? Like, I want to know that.
Yeah. So one, I think I've definitely just gotten more opportunity, you know, built a lot more trust and confidence in me from my teammates and coaches as the years have gone on. And also off season wise, I feel like I focus on a few things that I really want to build on. you know, this year is definitely my free throw percentage, 3-point percentage, trying to keep those up. But overall, you know, just staying in the gym with my guys from high school, getting in the high school gym, my old coaches, lifting, hooping every day. And definitely a lot of summer leagues, a lot of pickup, just trying to, you know, keep playing basketball, staying in the flow of things. You know, my workouts are very general. I try to work on a little bit of everything. So, you know, keep my game well-rounded, finishing, shooting, ball handling, all that. So just trying to work on everything in the offseason and, you know, hopefully seeing that pay off once the season comes around.
One thing that I was kind of curious about, Neruda actually, like, pointed this out to me, but you're doing, like, a lot of, like, change of pace or, like, snatchbacks to get into your shot. But also Chris said to me that you're the D3 Tatum. So I was just wondering, like, are there any specific players, like either at higher levels that you're watching or NBA guys that you're watching that you kind of like try to steal some of their moves, or where are you getting your craft from?
Yeah. You know, I definitely like to watch a lot of film and, you know, steal moves here and there that I see that I like. I like Paul George. I feel like his change of pace, he's so smooth. The younger guy, Shea, I feel like he's a killer. I mean, I feel like everyone can agree on that. You're a Thunder fan, so you definitely think that. But yeah, it's definitely fun to watch those guys. And then, you know, just watching games, I mean, like anyone can really put on a move here and there that I see that I like, and I'll add that to my bag. So,
I fuck with that. And we got a lot more to talk about UAA competition the rest of the season for Justin Allen. So stay with us while I take a quick break.
And we're back with Not Even D2 Pod with Justin Allen. So one thing, you know, we always talk about like the different level of, like the competition level in different Division III conferences. And, you know, UAA is always talked about as being like a high level conference in Division III. So just talk about your experience playing in the UAA, and if you have any, like, I don't want to say like rivalries, but like games where you're like, okay, this team is coming to play today, or I know they're going to give me my best shot. Like, just talk a little bit about the competition that you've seen in the UAA.
Yeah, so honestly, the UAA is super tough conference. I personally think it's one of the best conferences in Division III basketball. You know, I kind of realized that as a freshman when I came in, you know, first 10, 15 games are non-conference. And it definitely a lot easier. The physicality is completely different. Pace of game is completely different. And, you know, once we have that first league play game, everything picks up, intensity, the scouts, the preparation, and then, you know, the game, it's just totally different game. It feels like a whole new season, to be honest. But yeah, in terms of rivalries, I feel like obviously every game is huge. We don't have a conference tournament, so the winner of the league is just based on league records. So really every game feels like a playoff game. Every game is huge. But I think Case Western is definitely our biggest rival. Only a couple hours away, we bus over to them, and always a big game when we play them. So,
word. So you mentioned Case Western. What was the energy like last night? Obviously, we know the result. You guys didn't come away with the victory, but well, like, was there a lot of people there? What was the energy on the court?
There wasn't a ton of people there. I don't know if people aren't back from break yet or what, but I mean, the energy was still great. You know, everyone knew it was going to be a great game, thinking about it for the past week since we last played. So it was an intense game, a good matchup. Obviously, we didn't come away with the result we wanted, but, you know, we'll be back in a couple months. They'll be at our place, so that should be a good one to look forward to.
Yeah, for sure. Mark that on the calendar. Oh, but yeah. I also want to hear, like, what the vibe is like in the locker room, because, like, for me and Alfred, I'm sure it's for every college, but when you get into conference play, like you said, it's a whole new season, and you become familiar with these guys, and you're an upperclassman. Ruta and I are seniors, so it's like, as soon as the game was over last night, I went on my phone, look up Empire 8, like, see what's going on in the league. So I just want you to talk about, like, how it is in the locker room for you guys right now. Obviously, 0-1 in the conference, but just what you guys thinking about in UAA play?
Yeah, honestly, obviously, like I said, the game yesterday not went how we wanted it to, but we're still optimistic. You know, long season ahead of us. We still have 15 games left, 14 games left in the league. So, you know, looking forward to that, and just, you know, try to bounce back, watch film, learn from our game yesterday, and then, you know, be ready for our road trip this weekend. We're going to Chicago and Wash U at St. Louis, so you know, it should be a good weekend, and looking forward to that.
Obviously, like, you don't want to say, oh, this team sucks, this team's better, but do you think there's a hardest weekend in the UAA?
Yeah, so like you're saying, even if the team's at the bottom of the UAA, if you come and you're not prepared, you could lose by 20. So, I mean, our lead from top to bottom is great. I think probably the Chicago Wash U trip that we're about to go on is probably our toughest one. I don't think anyone on our roster right now has won a game on that trip. Mm. So it's, you know, it's definitely tough, but I think this is the year. So yeah.
I got to bring this up, Justin. I'm sorry, but you know, we always talk about, you know, a different guest, you know, the battles between different conferences in Division III. And, you know, early on when the pod first started, we had Teja Singh on, who plays at Hamilton. We had him on the podcast, and KJ brought up this take that I told him about me thinking that the NESCAC is, I don't know if I said overrated, but KJ said I said it. KJ said I called it overrated. But basically, Teja like confronted me, and he was like, "Oh, you think the NESCAC is overrated?" And I was like, I don't know. I just think UAA is a little bit better." And he was like, "Oh, I could see that." And from then on, like every time I see those Hamilton guys or pretty much anyone that plays basketball in NESCAC now, they call me out and they're like, "Yo, NESCAC is overrated." So it's kind of become a funny topic to talk about. But nevertheless, we all know that NESCAC is a really high level league. But you play in the UAA and you're a really high level player in the UAA. So I want to hear your perspective on this debate between the top D3 conferences.
Yeah. So I want to say, first of all, obviously NESCAC is an amazing league. I think UAA is a great league as well. Definitely, I don't think they're overrated, but I appreciate you sticking up for the UAA. but yeah, we play a tournament every year against the NESCAC schools. And I think the past 3 years, however long it's been going on, we've beaten them by a landslide, I think. So I personally think UAA is the best Division III conference. But I mean, obviously NESCAC guys are going to think they are. So,
everyone's going to be like, you know, protective over their conference.
Yeah,
I'd say. And, you know, I take back what I said. Like, I don't know if I would ever say that it's overrated per se. You know what I mean? But I just felt like in years past, this year, the NESCAC is stacked, just like the UAA too. But yeah, like in years past, it was kind of top heavy. But now, it's like so many teams in NESCAC are competing for NCAA tournament spots.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
But you guys went 2-0 this year, smacked Middlebury and Boyden. So I feel like that gives a little clarity on why Justin's saying UAA over NESCAC. Yeah. But I also wanted to kind of hear from your perspective how you treat non-conference, because obviously it's a basketball game, you're trying to win, but In the grand scheme of things, it really don't matter. Like, if you do your job in the conference, that's really what's going to bring you to the tournament where you want to be. So are you trying to, like, work on specific things during non-conference, or, like, what's your mindset when you get into non-conference scheduling?
Yeah, honestly, I treat every game the same. I'm going out there, I'm trying to do everything I can to win. You know, our coaches, similar intensity, they're not really telling us. Like, obviously, it matters a ton for all of us in the locker room, the coaches and all that. So every game is just as important for us. You know, whether you want to be ranked or, you know, helping us for a tournament spot. But, you know, obviously, like you said, once you get to league play, it's definitely completely different. The intensity is different. But I feel like once you're on the court, basketball is basketball. It's just, you know, like the scouting and familiarity with the other teams just all picks up once we get to league play.
It's also different, too, like, from my perspective and your perspective, because of that conference tournament. Like, if you go over however many, 10 games in non-conference, like, you might not get a bid in UAA if it comes down to a tiebreaker. But if we go 0 for 10 and we do good in the conference, we still have that conference tournament to, you know, like just beat out teams and get to that spot. But it's different in the UAA, which is really interesting to kind of look at and see how that affects team schedule and all that.
Yeah.
But one thing I wanted to switch topics about, RJ Holmes is also like an all-league player. He's having a really good year right now. When there's a dynamic duo, I always wonder like how those conversations are between the two. Like, are you guys saying like this is our team, like we got to take over in these specific moments? Are you giving him the green light at times? Like, just talk about y'all relationship and, you know, how it is playing with RJ.
Yeah, so I want to add into that is RJ and then also my guy Buckley. He's a killer too, averaging like 15. So the three of us, I feel like, kind of lead. But, you know, everyone on the team is a dog from top to bottom. But, yeah, I feel like the RJ's definitely been an amazing leader to play with the past 3 years. You know, having him in my ear, you know, keeping me aggressive, telling me to keep going. And, like, big moments, like end of games, he'll always come my ear and tell me, you know, like, now's your time, like, go kill. Or I'll tell him the same thing. But, you know, I feel like me and him, Buck, but also our whole roster from top to bottom is talented and, you know, can take over any game. So it's definitely awesome playing alongside guys like that, and kind of makes my job easy.
So right now you guys are 9-3. I'm sure the rankings will change after, you know, the loss, but you guys were ranked top 25 and you're currently averaging the second most points in Division III, having a really good year. I was hoping that your free throw percentage was a little higher so you could be in the 50-40-90 club, but nonetheless, you're shooting 50-40 from the field, and this is high volume too, like over 20 attempts or around 20 attempts from the field and around 6 attempts from three. So just talk about, like, what has worked for you so far? Why have you been so good? Why are you so dominant this year?
Yeah, so first of all, I think just staying in the gym, you know, putting a ton of work. My assistant coach, Pat Martinelli, is in the gym with me every single morning, whether it be before class, before practice. So shout out to him, you know, always helping me get in work. And then, you know, also my teammates, my coaches, a ton of confidence in me. Whether I'm missing shots, making shots, they tell me keep going, stay aggressive, so, you know, not losing confidence, but definitely just trusting the work, you know, trying to make things easy for myself, teammates always finding me and things like that. So,
yeah, 100%. And this is going to be the last question before we get into rapid fire. But so, I mean, you're having a really good year. You entered the portal last year. You're only a junior. You have one more year eligibility. So, one, I want to hear, like, is Carnegie Mellon the last stop? One. And then, two, like, what should we expect from Justin Allen moving forward? Because, like you said, you're a double major at a really high academic school. I know you want to play pro basketball. So, just talk about, like, your future.
Yeah, so honestly, I see Carnegie Mellon as my home. You know, after choosing to come back last year, I have a lot of more goals here that I want to accomplish and team-wise and personally. So, staying here. And then, in terms of me, you know, just staying in the gym, I want to keep getting better. Make some progress in the NCAA tournament, Sweet 16 beyond there. So a lot more things that I want to accomplish personally, but then also as a team here.
Word. And a little beyond that too, like what's post-graduation, what you thinking about?
Yeah, I want to play pro. So trying to, you know, do whatever I can, set myself up to play professionally somewhere and then, you know, see where that takes me.
Yeah. And respect, bro, and definitely continuing the grind. We could definitely see you doing big things in the basketball space. But
appreciate it.
We're going to end this episode with a little rapid fire and starting five edition. So let us know when you're ready for rapid fire.
I'm all ready.
All right. So I got to know this, bro, especially because since you scored 50, do you have any like favorite like pregame songs? Like, do you have any like songs that get you amped for real? Like, because I want to score 50 too. So I want to hear the songs that you play.
Bro told me he likes country music too. So I'm
in. Ooh, I want to hear it. I want to hear all of it.
That's a good question. So honestly, it really depends on my vibe that day. Like KJ said, sometimes I'll listen to country right before the game, you know, chiller vibe, or sometimes I'll be listening to rap. I love Sleepy Hollow, Chef G, some New York music. But honestly, it could be any type of music before the game. It just depends on what I'm feeling.
My guy, Sleepy Hollow is really my guy. I went to his concert in Albany, my first concert I ever been to.
Really?
It wasn't even nothing crazy. Like, it was like in this, it's at this place called Empire Live, which is like under like a parking lot almost. So it's like real small, but it was live, bro.
He's fire.
What are your favorite country artists? Because I'm starting to get into it too with like Morgan Wallen and stuff.
Yeah, I like Morgan Wallen a lot. I like Zach Bryan too. Those are probably my two main guys.
Fire. I always like when like people have like different types of tastes and stuff like that in music.
Yeah.
Just listening to like one genre.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly used to hate country, but like senior year of high school, kind of my friend showed me some songs, and now ever since I've kind of, it's nice to switch it up. Not always just listen to rap all the time. So,
bro, when it's in the summertime and you got, you know, the windows down, you blank
exactly.
You're playing Last Night, it's vibes, bro.
Yeah, exactly, bro.
So another question I had, we brought this up that you're from like the White Plains area, so I want to know like some of the top three White Plains hoopers that you played against.
Top three that I played against. I'd say one, Boogie Fland. I played him when I was a junior at Iona Prep. He's at, I think, Arkansas now with Coach Cal. Two other guys from that school. We played against their team. I think RJ Davis, he graduated the year before. And then AJ Griffin, too. He wasn't even playing that year because he was already committed to Duke. But, I mean, three dogs all from the same program. You know, Westchester definitely has a lot of killers, so.
Definitely, bro. I mean, like I said, Donovan Mitchell's from there. And there's I know a lot of D3 hoopers that are from White Plains that are, you know, killing in D3 right now. Like, Aiden Rodgers, my boy at Hobart, he's from White Plains.
Mm-hmm.
And then last rapid fire question. I always like to ask, like, either coaches or players this, but, like, some of their funniest, when it comes to coaches, I like to ask, like, their funniest players that they've coached. but for players, who are some of the funniest teammates that you've ever had?
Yeah, one, I got to go my boy Dylan Watson. Played with him in high school. College. He's a clown. Probably the funniest kid I know. On the team right now, we got a lot of funny kids. One of them, his name is Jackson. He's a freshman. He's hurt right now, so he's not playing, but he's a comedian. He's funny too. So definitely a lot of fun guys that I've played with.
That's tough. Well, we're going to move to the starting five edition. So if you're a coach assembling a lineup, point guard through center, who's your lineup going to be? And this edition is going to be the best shooters that you've played with.
All right, so to start, I'm going to go with my roommate, Buckley Desjardins. He's on my team right now, knockdown shooter. I think he's shooting 45%+ from three.
Give me positions, too.
Okay, I'm going to put him at the three.
Okay.
Yeah, Buck at the three. At the one, my guy Matt Toscano, played with him in high school. He's at Clarkson right now, another knockdown shooter that I played with. Next, I'm going to say Jack Stone, put him at the two. He was with us at Carnegie Mellon past 4 years, and then he actually left us, went to NYU now. So a little bit of a rivalry there, but he's in his grad year.
Right? Yeah.
They're undefeated right now. So at the four, I'm going to go with my guy, Nicky Bonura. He's a few years older. He played at SUNY Cortland. He was actually my assistant coach when I was at Fox Lane High School. But yeah, he's a killer. Play summer league with him. Once he gets going, nobody can stop him. And then last one, I see my guy Dylan Watson at Conn College at the five. He's coming into his own. He's been killing this year so far. So, yeah, excited to see what he's going to do the rest of his career. But, he's a dog too. So that'll be my starting five.
No, that's a great lineup. But the main question I have after that is, are you the best shooter out of those five?
Honestly, I don't think so. I think Nicky, if you see my boy Nicky shoot, you'll know what I'm talking about. He's different. I'll probably put myself second there, but yeah, because he can shoot. Yeah,
that's definitely a tough lineup. Some snipers right there. Yeah. But that's gonna do it for another episode. Not even D2. We definitely appreciate you getting on the pod on your off day. Love for that, and we definitely gonna be following Carnegie Mellon. Hopefully, you can continue the scoring outbursts, and good luck the rest of the year, bro.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you guys having me on here. You know, it was great to talk to you guys. Great to meet you. Thanks again.
We're going to end this episode with our only D3 segment where Ruta and I talk about what it's like to be a Division III student athlete right now, particularly something funny that you only hear in Division III and that wouldn't happen at like a Division I level or maybe even Division II. But I'll start this week. It's actually crazy because as the moment was happening, I was telling my friends, like, this is going in the only in D3. So we were playing Fisher, big conference game. Like, both teams are probably anxious, getting ready. There was, like, 10 minutes left on the warm-up time. And, the adrenaline switch when you're like, okay, it's about to be game time. So we get to our benches, starters sit down, and – the referees, like, the shot clock, like the buzzer, the light was still on. So they were like, we got to fix that. Like, obviously you can't just like play with the light still on. And our facilities manager or equipment manager, whatever you want to call it, Adam Dupree, he was trying to fix it, but it went, like, the light was still on. So like, it's mad awkward for like 5 minutes. We're standing in the starting five lines, like, you know, two separate lines, and we're just talking. And then coach comes over and was like, so the shot clock obviously is not working. We're getting a class B technical foul for faulty equipment. I'm like, bro, I don't even know what that means. But
like, what?
But basically, so they got to shoot a free throw. So the game started 1-0. Fisher was up because our equipment wasn't working. And I'm telling, me and Bob are just making jokes the whole night. Like, this is some really only in D3 shit. Like, only in D3 where your equipment will be messed up so that now the team starts with an advantage. But we got the dub, so we don't need to bring any excuses on what happened with that. But that's my only in D3 segment, and I'll pass it over to you.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty funny story. That's crazy. Technical foul for faulty equipment. Never thought ref can do that, bro. But yeah, so my only in D3 story, my first one, or the one that I, you know, I think is kind of funny, is so we were taking a bus to Cortland my sophomore year, and we were just driving to Cortland, and I remember that we were on like a, it was like a main road, but like the bus driver was doing like a tight turn.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes the turn, and you hear like a branch like hit the front part of the bus. It hits the side window. So you hear like doot 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 doot, and then it hits the last window mad hard, like bangs it. Bro, you look over at the last window, like on the last row of the bus, bro, the whole back window is like cracked. Like it's like literally shattered. Like it looks like if you like touch it, like the whole window glass will just like fall. Like that's how shattered it was. Yeah. So we were just like in the back, like, yo, this bus driver's wild. Like, what the hell? Like, yo, I'm about to sue him. Like, if I get a cut from this. So,
nah.
That's bro, my, what are you gonna say?
Did he like run into the branch?
Bro, I don't even know. I think it was just like a tight turn, and like I don't think he realized he was hitting it, so he just kept like driving, bro. Mm-hmm. And the branch hit every window on the aisle, bro. I swear.
Nah, that's comedy. Bus drivers are like special, bro. I don't know how they get through some of those turns. Like if you're sitting and you're looking out the window, you're saying 100% this is gonna be a crash, but they always make it work. So
bro, we drove back and it was snowing like crazy in Utica. And everyone was like, oh, like every time, like, you know, when you hit the side of the road and like the car, like you hit like the, when you're driving on like the right lane or something like that, right? And you get too close to the edge.
Yeah.
The bumps in the side. So like, let's say the bus driver was like doing that once or twice, everyone would be like, yo, what's up with this bus driver? I'm like, bro, she is a professional. Like, sit down, bro. We're going to be fine. You know what I mean? Like, she's getting paid for this. And she had a Knicks hat, so I knew he was good.
Nah, I'm weak. But that's our segment of Only in D3. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Not Even D2.
Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter. That's the best way to support the channel.
And all episodes released on iHeartRadio, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's going to do it. And we'll see you next week on Thursday.
Yo, bro, that was a fire episode.
OD.